Do you guys know what the difference between a fish tale and a fish story and a fairy tale is? See, when y'all come Tuesday, you're enlightened with intelligence that's just beyond our means. It's a good advertisement for us. Well, a fairy tale, it always begins once upon a time, right? A fish story begins, you ain't gonna believe this. I'm gonna tell you a story. It's not a fairy tale, and it's not a fish story. It's a story, basically it's God's story and how God works. And I'm so thankful for Christina and what she talked about this morning. Because too many times we forget we're God's story. We're part of his overall story, but we're part of God's story because it's God's life living in us. I was thinking about you guys. You're part of the great, what I consider the great generation in church history. I'm not trying to butter you up. I want you to know who you are. Because in this world and through Satan, you will look at yourself sometimes and think, oh, well, I'm a nobody. I don't like to hear anybody say that. Because if God formed you in your mother's womb, you are not a nobody. We have a whole world of people that think of that as nobodies, and millions of babies have been killed in the womb. They're somebody. They're a baby. You are someone. You're part of a great generation. Why? Because of your faithfulness and your commitment, it extends to every area of church life. You have been faithful for generation after generation, and you have made a significant impact. And when I say you, it's a known, okay? It's a known. It is God through you. But there are so many people that don't realize that, okay? 7,000 churches a year go out of business. And there'll be 7,000 more next year. And the next year, and there's many causes. But you are part of a generation that loves the Lord God, a generation that trusts God, and I thank you for that. I had a question when I began. I must say, this isn't, if you're looking in Colossians today, you won't find this. This is something that was just put on my heart as we have began this campaign. But the question I ask myself, and I'm going to ask you today, is this. What do you have that you have not been given? Now, I know the person in us want to say, given nothing. I worked my way through college. I did this. I've done that. And you have. But there is a power of God. You see, there is a sovereign God, and this sovereign God is unique. When he makes people, he doesn't make cookie cutters. We all don't look alike. We all don't act alike. We all don't do a lot of things alike, but yet we all do the same ministry, reach people for Christ, and make it very hard for people to go to hell in this generation. What do we have that God has not been given? When I began to think about this capital campaign, the one thing that came to me was not what's going to happen right now, okay? I'm talking about what's happening in the future. And my mind went back. Yeah, I thought I have memories of 37 years ago. That's pretty good. I didn't know where I put my socks this morning. But I could remember 37 years ago, I arrived out of school. I'd been a pastorate for 11 years, went to school with my family, moved to a town and began to be a part of a church for 18 years. It was a wonderful story. And it was a story of how people gave. When you read, how many of you heard Pastor Joe's message this weekend? Did y'all hear that? If not, go back online and look at it, or go into 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter. He was talking about a collection that was given for the saints back in Jerusalem. The Jerusalem church was the mother church, and the mother church was struggling, so Paul was going around to get an offering. And he was talking about a Macedonian church in this area. The people were very, very poor. And Paul made these statements. He said, they gave more than I expected. They gave way beyond their means. They gave so much, I could not believe it. But then he said the key. He said, they first gave themselves to the Lord. And you see, that's the key to anything. You know, we have made these imaginary stories up that sometimes rule our experience. And over the years, I've just got sick and tired of them. And one of them is talking about money. Now listen, if you are tuning in for the first time and you're sitting here for the first time, And you do you do what people say, oh my gosh, he's gonna talk about money. Well, if you come back next week, I'll talk about it too, okay? Because I'm not afraid. You see, we have a bunch of heretics and devils that are on TV preaching self-money. Buy me my seventh jet. Give me this and God will give you that. A bunch of garbage, and that's what it is. And so we in the evangelical community have listened to that so long, we're absolutely afraid. Absolutely afraid. Because we don't want to get involved with that. Many of you guys can remember the Great Depression. You know, that's where mattress money came from. Nobody trusted the bank. It was either under the mattress or after they opened a can of tomatoes, they washed it out and put their money in a tomato can and buried it in the yard. And then, you know, every home used to have a map. This is a turnip can. This is a tomato can. And you'd go out there and find out where your money was because nobody trusted anybody. It's a wonderful thing Sunday after Sunday when we see missionaries on this stage talking about their needs and what they've done. To know that because you guys have not been afraid to give, that's possible. That's possible. And when you get to heaven, every soul that's come to saving faith in Jesus Christ is a star in your crown because you were a part of it, praying, giving, and going. Jesus said in Matthew 6, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Would you believe me if I told you that there are 2,350 biblical references to money? Jesus talked more about money than he did love, heaven, or hell combined. And you have to wonder why. Because the love of money is the root of all evil. See, money is something that we are to possess. It is not to possess us. Now, before y'all, I see some strange look on your face. I'm not going to take another collection up. I am going to tell you a story. But I'm going to challenge you to have you thought about your body of Christ here 20 years after you're in heaven. Have you ever thought about that? How about 10 years after you're in heaven? Have you thought about the body of Christ? You see, there was a philosophy of the 60s that said, live and learn, die and forget about it. And that's not a philosophy. We're going to reign somewhere forever. A heaven above with Christ or in hell below with the enemy that's been our enemy for life. And what we do in Christ, What kind of legacy are you planning on leaving? Do you plan on leaving a legacy? I did a little work. What is a legacy? A legacy focuses on what will endure. It's about passing on things of lasting value to those who will live on long after us. Now, I know you've seen the cute little joke. Two old people on the beach saying, "I'm spending my children's inheritance." The Bible says if you don't provide for your children's children, you're worse than an infidel. We're supposed to think about those. Now, I tell my children, you see, the Bible says your children's children. So, my sons, I'm not worried about you. I'm worried about my grandchildren. And now that great-grandchildren have come in, I add a great. I put children's children's children because I found out great-grandkids are better than children or grandchildren. They're just great. But you also have a legacy to the body of Christ. Because, guys, you don't have a generation that's coming up behind us that have been taught the values that you have been taught and that you live out every day. I'm sorry, it's just not happening. Because when you read about it, less and less of the upcoming generation come to church, much less give to a church. Building a legacy means that you make an impact on future generations by leaving them not only wealth, but wisdom and influence that will make a difference after you're gone. What an influence of faithfulness and trust to maybe some of your children or grandchildren or people that know you. Long after you're gone, they find out that you've set up a legacy giving plan to continue the mission work at your church. You're teaching them a lesson of wisdom. You're teaching them faithfulness, and you're modeling the love of God. Why legacy giving? Well, I did some looking up too. See, I got notes because I don't want you to think I'm as smart as Joe is. I have to have a lot of notes, okay? Psalm 78:4 says, "He will not hide them from their children, but tell them to the coming generations the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonder of what he's done." Joshua 4:21-22 says, "He said to the people of Israel, when your children ask their father in times to come, what do these stones mean? You will tell your children now, Israel passed through the Jordan." I'm going to stop there because that's one of the verses that Joe left. And I look at legacy giving, and my wife and I are working on our plan for legacy giving now, but they're kind of like stones. When your children say, "Where'd the money go?" those are stones. And you see that church down there that's thriving? See those people that are coming to Christ? Those churches that are being built all over the world? That's what your parents, that's what your grandparents did. And you see, it's something you need to think about because did you know that wealth is generally lost in the third generation? It is. Generational wealth includes all the assets like investment, real estate, cash, everything else that has financial building. But generational wealth is not just about physical stuff. It's about a legacy that is left in the Lord. Here's my story. When I arrived at this church, in Leesburg, in 1987, it was the big church in town, and it had a little white two-story house right across the street. Now, they did own some land in back of that, and a lot of people thought that one day they would build a bigger church. It was about 300 people when I got there. The pastor had been there a short period of time, about 10 years. And as we were going there, something began to happen in the church. A couple moved into the little two-story white house, and their heart went out to the homeless people. Now, at that time, we didn't have a lot of people. Most of the homeless people were like people who were traveling from place to place. And so they would provide a meal at night, a place to sleep, and then a packed lunch for the next day as they sent them on their way. And that was the beginning of the CCC, the Christian Care Ministry. Now, as that began to expand, others in the church would go to our pastor and say, I think we need to have this ministry. And what happened was ministry evangelism exploded. It became something that no other church in the United States was doing. And here's the issue. All of our neighbors that live there, they hated us. Because here's what happened. Homeless people came in their neighborhood. The next thing that we put up was a place to hold men. And by hold, I mean that. Men checked in. They lived there. They ate there. When church was on, they were marched to church and taken back. It was a drug rehabilitation place. And they stayed there. And after 6 months, if you proved yourself, they would help you get a job. But you lived there. And what we found was men were coming in plagued with alcohol and drugs. And after a year and a half, they were united with their family, because as these men worked, two things happened to their check. 10% was injected for tithe, 50% was put in the bank, and the rest was doled out to them. And what happened is after a year and a half, or a year, there was enough money in the bank to get a home that they never had, to bring their family back together. They were Christians. They knew the Lord. They had a circle of Christian friends, and their life was established. One of those men, if you doubt my story, go on Netflix or one of your movie places and look for No Vacancy. Okay? There's a man named Cecil, a black guy, came to First Baptist Church, literally found on the sidewalk with an overdose of crack cocaine. He was an addict for years. He was in his 50s. They checked him in. The story of No Vacancy is this. He went through that. Later, when he kicked it, he bought his own home. He married a lady, and he became the chairman of the deacons of First Baptist Church, Daytona Beach, because the church had developed a ministry. One was developed for ladies. There was a ministry for, and these, we're talking about buildings. There were buildings that were built to home children who had been taken out of their home by the state. We were an accredited agency. We had a Christian care center where ladies who came to get an abortion, chose to keep their child. Families in the church took the women in. These children were either kept by the women or they were put up for adoption. Our church there adopted over 150 children that would have been killed. They next put a school in, started K to just kindergarten, grew to K through 12. They had a single mom's huge building home that housed women who had been abused and kicked out. Little by little, the community grew. And here's what we found out happening. We would get notified by a lawyer that a homeowner that was on our street who had fought us, said they hated us, had died. And they had left their property to the CCC. That property, that CCC has been in business over 30 years. The church itself has never had to spend a dime to build a building, furnish a building, pay for workers at all. Two reasons. Once a year, the community gathers. They get a report of what's going on. They have a little 3x5 piece of paper. The pastor said, don't forget, you got to walk by me and hand me your commitment card before you leave. And I don't take any cards that are blank. And the little guy, pastor, he did. But legacy giving has continued the ministry of the CCC. And not only that, for this church went from one downtown location to a location north, a location south, and another church that went out of business in town. Four campuses, all through legacy giving. Because people with a vision for God, faithfulness for God, took the advice of Solomon. Have you ever read the Proverbs that says basically this? You work and sweat all your life to have a lot of money, and you die, and you don't know what the person that gets it is going to do with it. There's a lot of truth in that. Am I encouraging you for something? You better believe it. You better believe it. Because I'm going to tell you, we don't have a guarantee that Jesus Christ is coming back soon. Oh, we'd all like it. But we don't know. And so just as Paul and that group of guys planted churches, took up offerings, and they went down through the millennial to where we are today, we got to keep going, and we got to go with the faithfulness. I'm going to stop talking a minute. I've got a video, and I'd like to, for you to see an overview of what I'm talking about. Let's roll that video.
Hello, I'm Bill Jones, the Executive Director of the Christian Care Center, and it's my pleasure to give you an overview tour of the eight ministries of the Christian Care Center. The Christian Care Center was started by First Baptist Church Leesburg over 30 years ago, but since has become a 501c3 organization comprised of churches, civic groups, businesses, foundations, and individuals who come together to meet needs and share Christ together. Let's start at our Pregnancy and Family Care Center. It's here that we help those struggling with choices about pregnancy, parenting, and other related issues. Our Learn While You Earn program not only provides the physical items our families need for the little ones, but also teaches them valuable life skills and biblical truths that will guide them for a lifetime. We have 12 amazing kids living here at our children's shelter, where they give unconditional guidance and love. They come from different backgrounds, but we teach them how much God loves them. From Spider-Man to princesses, we want these kids to feel like a kid. Sometimes life happens and families with children find themselves homeless. The Samaritan is the only place in Lake County where men, women, and children can live under the same roof as they get the training and encouragement they need to lead a successful and meaningful life. Our Men's Residence is a residential program that guides men who are struggling with drug and alcohol abuse, helping them overcome their addictions through the love of Christ. Ladies who battle addictive behaviors, life issues, and other crisis situations, find our 7.5-month-long program at our Women's Care Center just what they need to become the mom, daughter, and woman they always wanted to be. As the largest food pantry in Lake County, the Benevolence Center gives a week's worth of food to 65 families every day, equaling 8 tons of food each week. Our Fresh Start Jobs program engages job seekers, helping them in the process of securing gainful employment. There are thousands of people in our community who can't afford health insurance or are ineligible for government health care assistance. Our Community Medical Care Center is here for them, with over 50 licensed physicians and medical professionals provide for their medical, dental, and specialty care needs. The First Baptist Thrift Store provides over 30% of the overall budget of the Christian Care Center. It's here that whether you donate items, purchase items, or volunteer your time here, You know that you are helping hundreds of people every week that come to our Christian Care Center campus. We hope you'll consider joining our team of over 280 volunteers on our campus each week. I want to thank you for taking this video tour today, and I hope you'll consider taking a tour on campus by signing up either on our website or calling our Christian Care Center number. I also want to thank so many of our volunteer prayer partners, volunteer partners, and financial partners, because it's only through you that the Lord can do the amazing work He does on our campus. If you're not plugged in with us yet, I hope you'll consider joining us as we link arms to meet needs and share Christ in our community.
I'm such a smart guy, I know what's going through your mind out there. We don't have anything like that here, so preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about a vision given by God. What we have at Tomoka is the vision for the mission that God created the church for. Did you know that? God created a church to plant churches and make disciples and plant churches and make disciples. We have chili suppers, but he didn't do that for that. Pastor Joe has faithfully for 30 years and Tomoka followed the vision of planting churches. There's still more needs, greater needs, because everything costs more. Am I right? There are places in the world still not heard the gospel. There are places that still don't have a place that they can meet. Just as God blessed a vision of a man. You see, let me tell you something else about that church. When I went there around about 300 and had one service, the pastor came to me about a couple of years and asked me to start an 8 o'clock service. After that, I started a 9:30 service and turned them over to him. Three services, three Sunday school hours, and 7,500 people on campus every week. We didn't have Facebook back then or online. But as God, we invested and trusted God, God provided what we needed. Did not we just get through singing a song that said, all that I have need of, He has provided? You see, sometimes we're the world's worst. We'll sing and praise God for what He'll do and walk out afraid that He won't. In these days that we live in, we need a boldness and starch in our backs. This vision that goes beyond myself, Joe, or Cord, and probably y'all, is for a generation that will come and they will see a heritage. It's like a shark. Now, you can take a little 10-foot John boat and turn it anything you want to do. And many times, a church will start in a direction and a new pastor will come in and take it in a new direction. But when you get an ocean liner, when you get one of those big old aircraft carriers, buddy, it takes an ocean to turn that aircraft carrier. We are talking about setting a heritage that will outlive, if God delays His coming, 100 years will outlive all who come along. And when people show up in 2124 and say, what is this church about? This church will still be about planting churches, making disciples, and making it very hard for people to go to hell in 2124. And folks, the reason they'll do that is decisions that you can make. Yes, you should leave things for your children. But I have showed you an example of people who included their church, to continue ministering. I think a testimony of Tomoka is this: we've not wasted money, right? I mean, there's not a lot of frills here. I can say there's not a lot of salary for pastors, but I won't say that. No, we're all doing great. What I mean is we don't have any jets parked, and we don't have any $500,000 or $1 million houses, because we're investing in the Lord. Same way with that church I was talking about. All the time I was there, 18 years before I came to Daytona Beach, every day people would come to the pastor and say, I think we need to build a new auditorium, because their auditorium only held 1,000 people. And remember me telling you, 7,500 people on campus? We had to find ways to put them, and we did. And the pastor always said this: a new building will cost about $10 million. If you give me $10 million, I'll personally get a shovel and I'll shovel the first bit of dirt. But until we have the money, I'm not wasting money on a building that we worship in. I love that. That's what I was raised on as a young pastor in the ministry. CCC was built without loans. When the money came, buildings were built, ministries established. And you know, basically, right now we are in a capital campaign. We want to have that first edition up by pledge by the 9th of November. And that means whatever pledge you're making now. I'm talking about also thinking about beyond you. And I want to leave you with scripture, okay? I love this. How many of you watched the Christmas movie where the guy was double dog dared to stick his tongue on a frozen flagpole? Y'all like that? I watch it every year, many times, okay? Did you know there's a double dog dare in the Bible from God? Are you aware of that? It's in Malachi, right before the Old Testament ended. God had had enough of Israel. They were unfaithful. They were robbing him. So right before he went silent for 450 years, here's what he said: will a mere mortal rob God? But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings. You say, Pastor, I'm give my tithes and offer. I'm not robbing God. Yeah. What's going to happen when you go? Who's going to handle your wealth? When you leave all your money to somebody else, are they going to faithfully take care of your church? Your whole nation, because you're robbing me. But bring the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Here's the double dog dare. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much of a blessing, there will be no room to store it. God's just going to open it and dump it out. No place to store it. Then he says, I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and vines in your field will not drop before the fruit becomes ripe. Then every nation will call you blessed. There have been, in the last 37 years, churches all over the United States who God gave a vision to do what First Baptist did, and they've sprung up. I'm praying that Tomoka will be an example to other churches, that God begins to speak into their heart and get into the business of reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ in here, in our community, in our state, in the United States, and across the world, because God has left us that commandment. I want to thank you for allowing me to do this. I was talking with a pastor friend of mine, told him what I was going to do, and he said, "Where are you going to work next week?" I'll be back next week at 10:30. Because you see, I'm not ashamed to challenge you or even to make you mad to line up so that God will pour out a blessing in your life, in the generation in which you live. And then, if necessary, hundreds of years later, through your legacy, that God will lead you to live. Now, the greatest legacy that you can leave your family is not your money. It's a witness that they can look at that casket and know for sure that if they have a relationship with Jesus Christ, they'll see you again. Because the greatest decision in your life you made, and that was to follow Jesus. And if you've not made that decision, I urge you, come today. Come today. If you know Christ, I'm going to urge you to think about things you probably don't want to think about, never have. Your legacy. What will you do to ensure that Tomoka is faithful and able to do what we do till Jesus comes? Fathers, we come to you. It is the Word of God that we cling to. I'm not a salesman, but Lord, I am an encourager of a flock. I thank you for these people. Lord, I love you. It blows my mind at what you've done through their faithfulness. Lord, let that faithfulness continue. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.